Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Get ready to start this week off right. The Sunday morning brunch is back here for another 90 minutes, locked and loaded here in the kitchen. I done took off the blazer and loosened up the tie. Stepped aside, the kitchen Thomas is alive.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy this. Everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark and Moses and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs, man. And we got a lot of stuff to jump into, from some matches that went down last night in the boxing world all the way to college and college football and the crazy stuff that's going on. And we're going to cap it off with how we feel NFL-wise throughout this week. But I'm going to start the show off right, because we got a game going on right now in the middle of England. But before I do, let me get this show situated. I got my brother calling out of West Virginia, or the Virginia area. We have Tommy B in the building. Tommy, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I'm here. After that garbage I watched last night or yesterday, I'm here. But what's
okay,
up, Ty? Let's set this up right.
We'll be digging into that shortly, for sure. And Sports City, forgive me, I'm a bit frustrated on what I've seen, but we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it while everybody's trying to get situated on a Sunday morning dinner here in the kitchen. Now, the first thing I do want to talk about, that we have a game underway already. The Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing in London at Wembley, and a lot of people, especially the quote-unquote experts, went out there and said, the Bills will go out there and probably lay the wood to the Jaguars. Well, guess what? Turn the situation around. The Jaguars are up 27-10. The Jaguars are up 27-10. Now, it's 4th and 4 at the 20-yard line, looking like the Bills are going to set up for a field goal. And they did. They just kicked it. So now it's 27-13 as we approach the half here early in this game. Well, halfway point through the game, the Jaguars are up 2 scores. I don't know how you want to interpret this situation. EJ Manuel coming out of the gate struggling. He's already thrown 24 passes in the first half already. Your thoughts on this game, I guess, from both sides of the perspective, with the Jaguars taking advantage of EJ Manuel defensively, picking him off, so on and so forth, getting scores. And the Bills, I mean, not looking like themselves out of the gate. Your thoughts on this game early?
I don't know how to take it. I think Buffalo just needs to find a quarterback. I mean, really, seriously, they need to find a quarterback. Defensively, they're there when they want to play. They need a quarterback. I'm so sick of hearing about all these Florida State players and all these quarterbacks they've got. And none of them do anything. Name me one quarterback that came out of Florida State that's done anything. Now, Winston, I'll give him a pass right now because he is a rookie. It's disappointing how they are showing up and they're playing right now, because they have a defense. They put the money in defense. Their head coach is a defensive coordinator. And they're not even showing up. I picked Jacksonville to win this. I really thought Jacksonville would win this. I did. I didn't think it would be like this, but I picked Jacksonville to win this.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I was on the same notion that you were saying the situation. I said, I think Jacksonville will end up winning this game, and here's the reason why. The quarterback situation is the question right now in Buffalo, but I thought that EJ would be able to manage this situation as best as possible. He's already gotten two interceptions, one that already went back to the house. Interesting situation also with LeSean McCoy getting back. A lot of people were thinking that he's just finally getting his legs underneath him. He'd be able to be a big asset to the offense. Well, they're actually slowing him down right now. 13 carries for 33 yards, a 12-yard run was his longest of the day. But outside of that, if you add the 12 to the 33, he's basically been held 11 carries to 21 yards. Like, they basically are bottling him up, and they know what this guy could bring to a game. So they're not letting him get any escape routes or being able to hit people with a juke movement and get away and scamper for some. So I think Jacksonville did do their homework. I could tell people the reason why I did like Jacksonville outside of the kitchen, because I really don't like to talk about that lowly city or that town or that valley, however you want to portray it in the state of Nevada, but there just was something awkward about it. I'm going to say it. The line was four. The line was four. That basically pulled a lot of people in toward the Buffalo Bills, at least from what I'm seeing. At least I think a lot of people would have probably picked the Bills as a no-brainer now looking at the situation. So if Bortles can hang on to this, this will be big for Jacksonville, especially with the NFL trying to actually, if they end up moving this team from either Florida or moving any team from the NFL to England, they've already pegged the Jags as being one of the teams that are in that lottery that would end up going over there, even though you people know here in the kitchen that I don't really buy into us trying to move a team over there. And then us being the American football situation, because they already look at football as soccer. Like it's a good venue. I know they're pulling in tons of money, getting people in the Wembley, but that should just be an exhibition, well, a regular season exhibition, if you will. But time will tell. And I like we've discussed here previously, me, Chandler, Doc, Rodri, and Rodri's actually out there in Wales and knowing how big of a venue it is right now. I'm not really sold on this being an every week thing, you know, or eight games in a season of people having to wake up at 9:30 in the morning to catch a football game. You know, like the three games throughout the early portion of the season is fine. So I understand that. But like you said, EJ Manuel, questionable. There was already an interesting post from people around Sports City saying, I bet you Buffalo is still kicking themselves by getting rid of Matt Castle as early as they did, because they already went with Tyrod Taylor. Knowing Tyrod can throw the ball, I'm not going to take anything away from Tyrod Taylor. He can throw the ball, but his calling card is he's a scrambler. He can elude pressure and get downfield, him being a Virginia Tech Hokie. I've seen enough of it. So now that right. He's injured, you got E.J. Manuel in the game, and E.J. still hasn't turned the corner, you know, so now they're going to have to keep going with EJ, and unless he ends up looking worse in this situation or gets injured, then they're going to have to go with the backup behind him. But I doubt that they do that. I think they're going to ride this out until the fourth quarter. And Jacksonville is actually putting an interesting game in front of the Buffalo Bills. Anything else that you'd like to say toward this as we move away from the 9:30 a.m. matchup that they have out in Wembley right now?
You know, you say they're talking about moving a team out there. Isn't the players against that because they say the field is horrible to play on, that the field gives out, and there's a lot of injuries or players come back with just not feeling right when they come back because of the field? I mean, it's stupid. It's just Roger Goodell trying to bring in more money. That's all he is. He says he cares about these players. Roger Goodell don't give a damn about these players.
Go ahead, finish up, and I'm gonna Tommy. Go ahead.
The only thing he cares about is that money going in his pocket.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
It would be the dumbest thing they do is move a team over there. But go ahead. I think it would be the dumbest thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Plus, you got to think of every team that goes and plays over there, they're going to have to take the bye week off. Because every team that's played so far in England for the past two or three seasons, as soon as they play, they have their bye week. So it's more or less a situation where a lot of these teams are going to be looking to their vacation week or enjoying an extra day in England. That's if they don't come back immediately to America and try to get ready for the remainder of their schedule, which will take place in America. Like, so it kind of takes away from the venue being a one-shot deal, and let alone, you know, some of these teams are continually going overseas, and it's like I'd rather see more teams throughout the NFL get their shot to go over there and play in Wembley than just a select few that are the pull, if you will, toward the people out there in London that are going out there to see them. Besides, everybody that goes to that game, they're there for the venue. They're not there as hardcore fans. Like, you see a bunch of red if it was a Falcon team or a bunch of green if it was the Jets. Like, it's speckled fans everywhere, and you don't really have that home field aura if that's not really the home team. I mean, Buffalo is supposed to be the home team in this game, if I'm not mistaken. No, the Jaguars are the home team in this game, and it's not like Florida did, and it's not even like the Jags have a huge following. I mean, they have a following. I'm not going to take too much away from them. But right now it's shot. I think it's a shot situation until they really get this thing together. And not taking away from the money draw, because, like I said, the tickets are going to sell. And I don't really know the accuracy of that field, because I know it's more of a soccer venue. Wembley Stadium is more of a soccer venue. It holds a lot of people there. And for it to fill 100,000 people, I mean, that's a big amount of money for the NFL to counter on at least a three-game basis throughout the season. I think if they could do two or three games in the season, that's fine. If they're really trying to move a team in within the next coming years, I question that. And I'm hoping that some of these players, just like you said, are staring up on the situation about the field conditions or what have you, or if they just want to stay around America and stay by the family and the true fans that they initially had here. But I don't want to take too much away from what they have going right now. But just like you said, I think this is more of a power feature in front of Roger Goodell as well and the powers that be upstairs in the front office for the NFL as well.
And to even talk, to go back to what you said about how teams have bye weeks after that week, after they go over and they play, what are they going to do? Say, I don't know, say Jacksonville. Let's say the Jags go over there. What are they going to do if they come over here and play my Buffalo or play my Baltimore team? Are they going to stay over here and play two or three more games, then have a bye week, then go back over and play it back home? I mean, what are they going to do with them with their bye week if they got to come over to the States and play? Are you going to turn around and make him go to, I don't know, let's see, San Diego or somewhere out west? They have to go somewhere out west and play. Then turn around, they have a whole game. I mean, you've got to think about that, too, for their health and these players, the team that does go over there. What are you going to do?
Now, that brings up an interesting situation, because now that I look at it, you it's right. What happens if, let's just say, i.e., the San Diego Chargers is that team. Let's say the Chargers are the team that ends up going over there. Whatever, Chargers, Jags. You know, whoever's looking for a new stadium at the end, you know, at the end of the day, they're playing. Let's just say they have a two home game stretch, and then they have to come over here and play. They'll probably have a two away game stretch, and then what? Do they have like five byes in a season? Because they're going to get caught up in a jet lag situation. They are, one way or another, they're going to get caught up on the road out there. So this is something that they're going to have to figure out, because that jet lag plays a portion. That's 8 hours plus, depending on where these teams are flying from. That's 8 hours plus of flight time. Sitting still, you know, a lot of these big athletes are going to have to walk around the plane, ain't but so much walking they're going to be able to do at the end of the day. I'm not sold on the situation. I really am not. So
definitely, you got to go out to Seattle, Todd.
That's even worse. That's even worse.
If they really have to fly to Seattle, that's way out on, I mean, up on almost the Canada border, right there on the border of Canada and the United States, then you're going to fly them all the way back over there and play another game? Really? I mean, they got to sit down and think about this.
And that's an additional 5 to 6 hours getting from the East Coast to the West Coast on top of that 8 hour flight. So, you know, they'll be tight and trying to stretch out and be ready for a game. And of course, you know, you'll get some teams that'll be up and ready for that matchup. Or let's just say it's a team that's playing that team that's over there in England and having to get back to the States, and they don't have the bye game back here, and then they have another road game somewhere that plays one of the West Coast teams, whether it's the Raiders, Chargers, San Francisco 49ers, you know, also like you said, Seattle or the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, there are a good amount of teams that are out West that are considerably in the NFC or AFC that they have to paint this picture, whether they want to give these teams consistent buys after that game or, I mean, then this actually extends the NFL season even further. But
Then you got to look at weather. What happens if there's a flight delay in these East Coast games? Cleveland, New York, Chicago, Minnesota, where they can get snow. Denver, where snow happens and you delay their flight.
That's even bigger of a situation. Plus, knowing England is known for rain, so, like, what if some of those flights can't depart out of there or fly in there, you know, just because they're trying to have safety situations that set teams back, and then wherever they are being held up before the flight either gets there or lands, so on and so forth. I feel like they're pulling that string in the situation, but we're pulling too far into the situation. I just want to deal with this game right now. See, look what you're doing, Goodell. You got us going off the handle here on this international play. The Jaguars are up 27-13 early. It's halftime, and I'm just wondering if the Jaguars can close the door. And they've actually been speaking about closing games. Well, here is their opportunity to close the game. I feel like if they could get another two scores, well, a touchdown and a field goal, I really want to say some touchdown of some sort. If they could get any type of two-score situation, I think they could put this game out of reach. But if they end up losing this game or letting Buffalo back in this and force it overtime, I think, one, everybody out in Wembley will enjoy the event, but two, Jacksonville has some issues to fix, especially the way that the defense has been dominating the ball and making E.J. Manuel look extremely questionable at the early portion of this game.
What turns his numbers? Do you have the numbers?
Yeah, I have them in front of me right now. Hang on, I'll get to Hearns right now. Allen Hearns has receiving wise in this game. Hold on, I have a little hiccup. Don't worry, Sports City. I got it. Okay, so while this is trying to come into me, I do have a caller in queue. I have Nacho here. Nacho, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing good. Alex Hearns has one catch for 22 yards.
Okay.
See, there's Jacksonville's problem. Get the ball to the man. See, he's probably one of the best receivers on the team.
But T.J. Yeldon's got nine attempts for 63 yards and a touchdown. And I know one of them was that big long touchdown. But, I mean, you know, hopping right into this game, think about it. Jacksonville scored 14 points, you know, in 7 seconds defensively. So their offense hasn't been moving the ball. Their offense hasn't been doing that great. They've just been doing a little better. So I just don't know if you know, you could – it's hard. Because what was it, 3 turnovers in a row, right? It was a fumble six, a pick six, and then an interception down the field, and then T.J. Yeldon ran it in for a touchdown. So that's 21 points off of turnovers in less than, like, 2 minutes. They need to win this game. You know, you hit it right on the head there, Ty, in the fact that they have a game here that they were up 27-3 with, I think, 8 minutes left in this game, or 8 minutes left in the half of the first half. You know, the good teams, now we're not talking elite, we're not talking great Super Bowl champions or whatever, but the good teams go into a lead go into halftime with a 2-touchdown lead and come out of a game with a victory. They know how not to play just to win, but they play and they win the game. And if Jacksonville can take that turn from perennial, you know, bottom feeder to an actually okay to good team, they need to start winning games like this.
Okay. And oddly enough, like everybody here in the kitchen knows, I'm a big Blake Bortles fan. I don't want to see him get the door shut on him like this. Because a lot of people want to see him fall. And I'm like, this guy is a pro-style quarterback. It's just that he was put in a bad situation in Jacksonville where they're trying to do a lot of patchwork. But now they have a lot of interesting pieces around them with Allen Hurns, with Mercedes Lewis, with Julius Thomas as well. T.J. Yeldon as well. I mean, they have pieces there, so we have to get this job done some way, somehow. But it's interesting that the Bills are in this situation because I'm not going to lie. I was one of the interesting people here in the kitchen saying that the Bills would have an interesting season this season. I was one of them. If the Bills lose this game, they fall under 500, and I think they put themselves way behind the eight ball the way that the Jets and the division dominant, I got to say it like this, New England Patriots, are taking care of business in the AFC East. I got to say it like that. So what do they do? If they end up continue playing ball like this and they're out of the half right now, the third quarter has begun. If the Jaguars knock them off, they'd be 3-4. The Jags get a 2-5 situation in their season. Well, do they go on a 3-game winning streak and try to get back into this and hoping that the Jets and the Patriots lose 3 as well? I mean, come on. I mean, Rex Ryan has basically made his bed in this situation. And like I said, I've had people come to me before the brunch started off and said, Ty, what if they hung on to Matt Castle? And Matt Castle is actually making a start in Texas today. And I really feel like they jumped the gun and getting rid of, well, making Castle the backup and going with Tyrod Taylor because Castle has the experience. And just like a lot of people try to peg it, and we said it here in the kitchen, oh, everybody resorts back to his experience in New England going 11-5 with the Patriots. He also made the playoffs with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, this guy knows what to do, especially with interesting pieces there. Now you got him in Buffalo and already tried to ruin his confidence. He got out of there. And now you got injury after injury setting you guys back out there in Buffalo as well. I mean, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And you know, I kind of disagree with you with the fact that, you know, Castle could have been the starter. But the fact that remains, he could have been your backup. And when a Tyrod Taylor does go down like he did, you know, you have a Matt Castle to fill in for a couple games. Then Tyrod can come back and pick it back up. But you know that's arguing, you know pins and needles at this point with, you know, Matt Castle being the starter or not. But he should still be on this roster right now, helping this team out. What Rex Ryan or that coaching staff felt they had with Tyrod, EJ, and you know whoever else they were thinking of. But the fact remains, if EJ goes out there right now and his first possession is, you know, three and out, a real quick three and out with bad passes or an interception or a fumble. Do we see Josh Johnson in the second half? And if we do, then the Bills already throw in the towel and they lost this game because Josh Johnson's got in there like a week and a half ago. So this is one of those things that the Bills need to get this situation underhand quickly in this game. This isn't a process. Like you said, they can't expect two other teams to lose 3 straight weeks. They need to win this game today.
There's no way New England loses 3 straight games. You can't. It's not happening. New York, it depends. Don't see it. But, I mean, what's funny is you got Sammy Watkins going out hollering, crying that he wants the ball more. He's not being targeted. Then he gets hurt. When they start targeting him last week. Now, I know injuries are injuries. You can't really help them. But you got all these players in Buffalo whining and crying. The two we talked about in the kitchen, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, about the two players on defense crying and whining about this. And then we got Watkins that was whining and crying. He's not being targeted. He's not even on the field to be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and I'm in a situation where I got Sammy Watkins fantasy, and I got to keep benching him because he's not available to play, man. And he was one of those guys fresh out of that draft for Clemson that a lot of people were saying, oh, he's going to be a big time receiver. One, he's not out there available to play. Two, Percy Harvin's been injured also. A lot of damaged receivers have been in and out of this roster for this Buffalo Bills situation. They are going to have to put it together, man. I do feel like they have a shot. Like, there's something that it's the mystique of the Jaguars. It's something about the Jaguars that I'm not comfortable with right now. I'm not. Like, they're up 2 scores. They got out to an early lead right now. It's just something. I feel like Buffalo could get right. They could get right back into this game. 1 score, turn this thing right around. If they score a touchdown, they'll turn this thing right around and have Jacksonville basically on their heels. But that was an awesome start. Putting up
27 points in a quarter. All of that happened in the second quarter, people. I want y'all to know that. That all happened.
Wasn't Percy Harvin talking about retirement because of that hemp?
I mean, and we could dig into that, too, because, I feel like it's a bit early for Percy Harvin to be screaming that. Nacho, your thoughts on the situation where Percy is actually mulling retirement because of his injuries getting to him?
Now, of course, this is one of those things that has multiple reports, because not only did I read that, I also read where he says he doesn't even think about retirement yet. And then, of course, you've got another one saying that, you know, he said it. And this is one of those things where you're right. I don't know, but you think about Percy Harvin, and the first thing you think about is migraines, concussions, then a leg injury, and the fact that he played one game in an entire season, and it just so happened to be the most important game in the NFL season, and he balled out. This is Percy Harvin is – I don't know what he is, you know, other than a great talent that's wasted on, you know, injury after injury upon, you know, injury and migraine and concussion. So this isn't a surprise to me, to be honest. The surprise is the way he's going about it. I would figure it would be not something that would, you know, leak or whatever in the middle of a season. I mean, he has been going through the injuries and the reoccurring knees and things of that nature. But I just don't know, man. It's really one of those things that you got both reports conflicting that I've read. And you know, to be honest, the one that's saying he's going to retire seems more legitimate. It seems more of the right thing or right path that you would assume he would take with the multiple brain, you know, issues that he's had, whether it be migraines, whether it be concussions, you know, holding him out for multiple games and things of that nature. So I just, it's not a big surprise. I mean, the guy is constantly injured. I mean, if he wasn't able to get healthy for one game in February, we might never know of this guy.
It's
okay. Simple, Todd.
Oh, go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
It's another Florida bum that they talk about and he doesn't do nothing. It's that simple. Look off of that national championship team. Where are they? Tebow. Where's he at? We know where Hernandez is. He's sitting in prison for murder. Harvin is, I guess, shows up when it's a Super Bowl or when it's convenient for him. Cooper sitting in Philadelphia being racist. and obviously doing whatever. Who else was on that team? I mean, it's that simple. Another Florida bum that don't do nothing. I mean, we've got some in Baltimore with Will Hill. What's he doing? He's getting burned easily, being burned, and doing what Florida players do. They tackle each other. It's that simple. It's just another Florida bums that don't do nothing.
Now I'm gonna be real honest. One, I really can't agree with you. You know, talking about Percy Harvin, because he is a field tilter. Wherever he is, he's like a chess piece. He can dominate a one-on-one matchup, but his injuries catch up to him. That's the one thing that I look at. If he can stay on the field, it's one thing, but, you know, it's always something nagging him. Two, if Aaron Hernandez wasn't caught up in the Connecticut thug life, then he'd be all right. I mean, because he was doing work in New England, and the crazy part about it is, I'm not going to lie, Sports City, I'm going to keep it 1,000, because they usually say keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 1,000. If you told me that you're going to give me $41 million for the next 3 years, listen, every gun in my house that I'm thinking I'm thug life and with, listen, take that to my cousin house or something. I don't even want to be a part of it. Like get away from me. Like all of y'all, everybody don't talk to me. My life is changing. My life is changing. I don't know how he still wanted to be caught up in that situation and pulling that guy out in that situation. That's a whole other situation. But Aaron Hernandez was a good tight end.
That they moved around on the
good,
field.
But he was being trouble. He was getting in trouble with Florida. And Urban Meyer worked his way around it.
Yeah, but his on-field play is different than his mentality, I guess. I guess his IQ in general is the question. That's what I'm thinking of. Because him on the field, him and Percy Harvin are two interesting pieces. Now, the only one I could agree with is the Tim Tebow situation, because I'm not going to lie, when he was doing his thing in Florida, I was like, I want to see him do this in the NFL. Because he was a 250-pound quarterback and basically going after linebackers that's the same size, and he was successful scrambling. Once they forced him to throw the ball in the NFL, he can't find a job anywhere. Like he had one good season, his rookie season in Denver, where they went 8-8, and one pass to Demaryius Thomas basically made his career, and we didn't hear from him since. Like, he's struggling to find any NFL roster to be on. Now he's on, different sport venues speaking on college football. But, I really don't want to, poo-poo the guy, because he got at least was given an effort to go out there and ball. But I agree on to that point, and the Riley Cooper situation. He just got a touchdown the other day, but I don't really see him being a world beater or some type of threat on a consistent basis in a wide receiver position for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I do understand where you're coming from with that one.
And it just came down. I don't know if you all have seen this or not. Dez Bryant is out tonight. He's not playing. They just had it on the NFL Network that Dez Bryant will not play.
Right. I think that report came out last night, if I'm not mistaken. But still, this is the one thing I might as well just spill right into the situation, because I did want to go over last night's fight with Nacho, with Crawford taking care of Gene. Pacquiao talking about retirement, too. That was an interesting situation, but I know we're going to fall right into these games as well. Now, the interesting thing about the Dez Bryant situation is him being out, this puts a lot of pressure on Matt Cassel, who just, is getting underneath center to try to take care of business. But they are on a 5-game winning streak up against the New York Giants. I cannot see Eli fall into a 6-game losing streak to his rival Dallas Cowboys. I don't think New York will let that happen. The NFL will let that happen, especially up against their third option at quarterback for the season with Romo, Wheaton, and now Cassel being the quarterback. If this happens to the New York Giants, I know Coughlin will be questioned, if you will. He'll be questioned, if you will. Nacho, your thoughts on this situation before I get away from it. We'll be back to this situation also.
I'll just make a quick statement on this game. And just as a fan looking on the outside, looking in, nothing would be more entertaining on sports radio and sports media than a Matt Cassel beating an Eli Manning. It would be amazing to listen to the New York media talk about Eli and Dallas media, bring up Matt Cassel like the greatest thing since sliced bread. It would just be an amazing thing to watch.
Believe me, and you don't even get to hear it. You way across the country. So believe me, I'll hear it. I actually work with some Giants fans, so I'll hear it fresh. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it'll fall that bad. I really don't think Dallas gets it done. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Now, so quickly, so I can get to these games with some time here, your thoughts on the fight last night with Terrence Crawford taking care of business and getting a TKO on Gene last night. And also, with Pacquiao saying that he's going to retire April 9th, they're already pegging Crawford to be the contender or the fighter that he takes on in April.
Real quickly, I watched the first round and I stopped watching. Terrence Crawford is what he is, and I was, he just was going to dominate that entire fight, which I anticipated. He's a guy that, if he takes on Pacquiao will get that work. Terrence Crawford is the second coming. He is the next guy. He's got defensive skills. He's got punching power. He can move around the ring like he uses all 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, however big you want to make it. He'll use all square inch of that all square feet of that ring. And it looks good the entire time. And he's going to be a box office go-getter. The problem with him is he's only fought in Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken, or his hometown. He's only fought in small markets. He hasn't taken on a big market quite yet as a main eventer. Taking on a Pacquiao, you know, in Vegas in May or April, you know, that would be leading up to, you know, which I anticipate a Canelo Triple G fight in May. So, you know, you've got, you know, a big mainstream pay-per-view 1 month after another, and I think that would be something the sport is going to dig on and something Terrence Crawford needs. People will be excited to get Canelo Triple G. They'll want to watch the Crawford and Pacquiao make his last fight, and I think Crawford decimates the crap out of Pacquiao, injury or not. Crawford's a beast. Youth, strength, speed, defensive prowess, it's almost all rolled into one with this kid.
Now, see, the one thing I like about Crawford is this is what I like about certain boxers that can do this, like Andre Ward, also Andre Durrell as well. They can switch their style of boxing. They could go from orthodox to southpaw. And Gene was actually getting some interesting shots in that first round. And once Crawford switched to southpaw, he had Gene befuddled. Gene couldn't do anything with him. And the fight turned around. He dominated him and ended up getting stopped in the 10th round with a TKO. And, you know, being in that situation, if Pacquiao, if he's a switch southpaw and start catching Pacquiao, I mean, that would be an interesting situation too. But he's at 140. I think he might have to move up and wait, you know, to make that fight happen. Or if Pacquiao wants to come down to lightweight where he is at 140, that would be interesting. I want to see where they play ball, you know, in that situation. But I do like boxers that can switch their style in the middle of a fight, and that's exactly what Crawford did. And he's young, too, at that, and everything that he's gone through. I didn't even know that the situation where he got shot in that city of Omaha, too. So knowing that, you know, previously that he got shot in that city and then came back and he's undefeated right now taking care of business, I salute Terrence Crawford for what he's done. But I do agree, if he gets outside in the state of Nebraska and has to fight a big-time fight, that's where the lights are on. But I hope that that crowd, the people in Nebraska, go and follow him right to Las Vegas or go and follow him to Madison Square Garden or wherever he does end up fighting, help him, because he's representing y'all outside of the Cornhuskers. I mean, what's big in Nebraska?
And the thing is, the crazy thing is with this is he's going to fight Pacquiao. We all know where Pacquiao likes to fight if he gets to choose the venue, Macau. You get a little more money in Macau. So if Terrence Crawford gets to fight in April, he might get to be, you know, the little kid from Omaha traveling to Macau to fight Manny Pacquiao, this big, you know, superstar, you know, on his last retirement run or in his retirement fight, you know, trying to go out on a victory after he got embarrassed in May, last May. So this could be the biggest markup to a fight for Manny Pacquiao, but in that, you're going to get to see Terrence Crawford. And then, of course, when he wins, everyone's going to be talking about the kid who defeated, you know, big, mighty Manny Pacquiao.
Fair enough. I did want to get to some of these college games. One that had me so mad yesterday, and I can't skip over it because if people be like, well, Ty, you ain't being fair, you're not talking about your team, I'm going to get him out of the way right now. I got to do it right now. Number six, Frank Clemson, came to South Beach, Miami, and dismantled the Hurricanes, winning 58-0. Brad Kaya goes down with what seems to be a concussion. Now, that has me worried more than ever because I was just here last week and the kids are saying, well, Brad is throwing the heck out of that ball. He's doing a good job getting that ball downfield, and this offensive line couldn't protect him at all. And the play that he got hurt on, first thing, I want y'all to understand this. The play that he got hurt on, it was a third down play, and they basically dropped everybody back. They rushed two, and Shaq Mason, the All-American defensive end, gets to him, beating three offensive linemen. He beat three offensive linemen to get to him and hits him hard and knocks Kai out of the game. Miami couldn't get past the 50-yard line. Now, the question looms that they think that Golden's job is still safe in Miami, and I question that. I strongly question that. Now, the one thing that I'm looking at, I think that they do give him the remainder of the season. I'm not going to lie. I really think that they let Al Golden finish the remainder of the season. I know that, you know, the president of Miami, they're good people with Golden. They have a good rapport relationship, what have you. But you can't let a powerhouse once was, especially with a lot of interesting names that come out of Miami, they're not even getting their recruits there anymore. And I think this is something that me and Tommy actually talked about outside of the kitchen, where a lot of these recruits are going to come back to, or not even going to look Miami's way because Al Golden is there. Him, Coley, I mean, the defense couldn't stop anything. Even when they put the second-string quarterback in there, he even scrambled for a long run and scored. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things happening with Miami. The play calling is questionable. For them to continue to run Joe Yearby by himself, no fullback help picking up anybody, as soon as a defender grabs him, the play is stopped. I'm frustrated beyond belief. I couldn't talk to anybody yesterday seeing what was going on in Miami. And the crazy thing is, looking at the factory, and I'm not a Twitter guy. I'm going to keep it 100%. I'm not a Twitter guy. But watching every last Miami former Hurricane come out and speak toward how they've had enough, from Brian McKinney to Warren Sapp. I mean, the list goes on and on how these people are just basically frustrated on watching Golden's coaching tactics. Now, the crazy thing was him in front of the press when they asked him the question about the game. If you look at this, he did not look up at one point in his interview. He was looking down in disgust, like he couldn't even look up. Like honestly, you know that you got to, face the fire, if you will, and answer these questions wholeheartedly. I think he more or less is looking down, searching for what to say, get out of the way, and proceed to next week. And that's he's like, I can't let this hamper us today, tomorrow, next week, or this week. We got to be ready for, our turnaround for the next game Saturday, which they play another ranked team in Duke, who actually had an interesting win also in an overtime matchup as well. Tommy, I'll let you clear your lungs on this situation quickly so I can get to the remainder of the situation, college, and then start giving our picks out as well.
To talk about first, I was with you yesterday. Didn't talk to nobody. Didn't talk to my wife. Ignored my kids because I didn't want to go off. I was disgusted. Okay? I literally had people on Facebook and Twitter messaging me, calling me to make sure I was okay. I literally wanted to lose it. Okay, you know me, Ty. I live and die with this team. In all sports, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, it don't matter. I live and die with this game. And what Al Golden is doing to my university is despicable. You've got former players, like you said. And Warren Sapp came up with a perfect tweet. Why is Al Golden the only coach that does not wear a logo, the U, on a shirt? And it's funny, when Al Golden, he's never done an interview not wearing his tie. He didn't have one on last night after that. That's because he didn't want someone to choke his ass out. This is embarrassing. And I called it. Ty, you can vouch for it. I called it two series before that Kaya was going to get hurt. I seen it coming. This offensive line is despicable. I don't know if you've seen it, Ty. I saw it. It was all over Twitter, Facebook. During the game, you had defensive coaches fighting because of the way they were playing. That the defensive coordinator was playing the guys. You had an assistant that was fighting with him. The offensive line has no clue what they're doing. They were letting guys line right up in front of them and wasn't touching them. Let him run in free. I'm wondering if Kaya was even hurt. He just was like, yeah, I'm done. I can't do this. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, we can't get a recruit now. I guarantee it. We were ranked, what, eighth in the ESPN top 50 or top 350 or whatever. We will drop so far after this game, it won't even be funny. Then you've got the AD saying, well, Al Golden's job's safe. We'll look at it at the end of the season. We'll get ready for Duke.
I'm telling you right now, unless these players ball up, pull their pants up, and start playing, we don't win a game this year. And every one of them are winnable. I mean, we got Duke next week. That went to four overtimes against a Virginia Tech team that we pretty much handled last week. Think about that, Ty. Think about where this program has fallen. I mean, Temple is ranked higher than us. His former team. And Temple is laughing at us now. Ha, ha, ha. He's your problem now.
Right.
He's your problem now.
They're
undefeated at this point after watching Golden League 5 years ago. There was something that somebody said that he is, I think it was Chandler, if I'm not mistaken, he is a small school type of coach. He's not built for one of these big-time schools like Miami. I think there's too many cameras, too much press on him, and for him not getting his team to perform is a whole other issue. So maybe I think he should end up going somewhere else, but it depends on what this front. Well, you know, the powers that be with Miami, if they are going to hang on to him, I would extremely question what's going on down there in South Beach if they do end up hanging on to Golden. But I think this is where the line is drawn in the sand for this to be the worst loss that the Hurricanes have ever seen in Miami Hurricane history. This is the worst, and this isn't even on the road, people. This wasn't in Death Valley, South Carolina. This was in Florida.
It was in Florida. 42-0 at halftime. 42-0 at halftime. And they were going up and down the field like we were a high school team.
Those stands looked empty with 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people left early. A lot of people left that game early. And watching the game, they were like, maybe they're going to the concession stand or going to the bathroom. One, you got people that are Hurricane fans trying to fill up a pro stadium. Like, this isn't the 80s or the 90s Hurricanes that we're used to. This is the 2015 led by Al Golden Hurricanes, that they don't have that same group of people that was filling the Orange Bowl. It's very tough for them to get.
The stadium's an hour away from campus. It's not like the Orange Bowl where the Orange Bowl was right there. You think about it. Since we tore down the Orange Bowl and moved them to that pro stadium, the University of Miami has fallen apart.
Okay,
we talked about this outside of the kitchen. We need our own stadium. We need to put something closer to campus. People that I've got friends on Facebook that go to the game, same ones that you have, and they say it is a hell of a job to drive an hour outside to get to the stadium. It takes them forever to get out there.
Okay, enough of the Miami beatdown. I'm going to start going crazy on air, and I can't.
You? How do you think I feel?
I couldn't even enjoy
the Florida State loss.
Right. I'm trying to get to that game. I'm trying my hardest to get there, but I'm up here like shaking, like I'm about to just jump out of the window or something. So I got to stop. But Al Golden, I don't say this for no man, because I know how hard it is today in America to make it. I need you out of there. I hope there's another school that you can go and get a job at. Like I'll say it like that. I hope you can get work somewhere else.
That means it's high school.
Right. Look. You go do what you need to do, because I cannot sit there and suffer on a week-by-week basis. And knowing that I don't even come to the kitchen and don't like talking about my boys, but it's like I could not dodge a bullet because I would hear it after the show. Ty, you needed to talk about that. Look, I'm addressing the situation. I can't take it any longer. Now, interesting enough,
right here in the ACC. I'm not going to lie, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. I'm going to say live on air right now. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to say I apologize. I am completely sorry. Please accept my apology. If you don't, I understand. I understand. But I didn't think that there was any way that Georgia Tech would be able to go shot for shot with Florida State. Now, mind you, I questioned some of the play of Florida State, but, hey, that's just me. That's just me. A 16-16 game carried into the later portions of the game. Florida State setting up for a big field goal where their kicker is basically one of the best kickers in college football. I can't even lie. He's a monster at kicking the ball. Gets his kick blocked. 78-yard return for the touchdown, Georgia Tech wins. Now, the reason why I didn't think Georgia Tech could actually be in a situation, they run that triple option, and a lot of people are already ready or know where they're going to go. I mean, you just got to guess right and make sure that they don't get the fullback the ball up the middle or contain the quarterback, stop the running back on that pitch outside, and that basically is their offense. Georgia Tech did what they needed to do defensively to stop Florida State. Not only that, I don't know if people watch the game, but I was watching the full game. You got Jimbo Fisher and Golson on the sideline going face-to-face arguing. I'm talking about bad, like real bad. So I don't know if this is a situation where a lot of people were pegging this toward Jameis Winston, where they would have this fast. And I still remember the one where Jimbo told Jameis, you better calm down or I'll bench you. I still remember that because they had it reading his lips and everything.
Wasn't happening to Miami last year?
It might have been when he said that.
I'm not sure. Been the Miami game.
I'm not sure certain which game that was, but I do remember when they were going at it. He followed Golson all the way to the bench where Golson was trying to get away from him, and this offense wasn't putting together points. Now, mind you, they got a running back that dominated Miami, put up 200-some yards rushing. Now they're getting away from Dalvin Cook. They don't want to give Dalvin Cook the ball like you notably see him on a week-by-week basis. Things that make you go, They're forcing Golson to pass the ball where he's a questionable passer. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but, like, questionable on some of the throws. This is something that Chandler said right here in the kitchen, and I wanted him to be here, but he said, Ty, say it for me. So I'm going to say it on behalf of my big brother. This was just last week here in the kitchen. If I'm not mistaken, it might have been Tuesday on the cookout where he said Florida State will lose in their next three games, possibly this week. I said, there's no way. I don't think Georgia Tech has a shot. I don't. Chandler, I salute you, and that is why I call you Nostradamus for real. I didn't think you'd see it like that. But he called it right now on the button with this game going down. I want to hear your thoughts on this game. Nostra, I'll go to you first. Another epic ending. Last week, we just see Michigan State do the same stuff while the clock runs out of time to Michigan, and now you have Georgia Tech on their home field, doing the same situation in Florida State.
Yeah, and you know it was a close game, and I didn't, like you said, I didn't watch the whole game. I actually, what I like to do is watch all the games at once as much as I can, and then find the closest games towards the end and watch those. Because in college football, obviously, that's the best part of it. Finding this game at the end, right before the field goal. Watching the block field goal get run back for a touchdown, obviously it's an amazing finish for Georgia Tech and a good win. But, you know, like I said, or like you said, when I watched the highlights of the game and watched how much they did not give Dalvin Cook the ball, I was just amazed and shocked that you couldn't just fight fire with fire and run the ball in time of possession just as much as Georgia Tech did. But you could have had the ability to not only do that, but score every time you got the ball. And I think Dalvin Cook could have done that for them. So it just blows my mind that, you know, overthinking too much sometimes, I guess. Think long, think wrong, you know, as they say. So I don't understand it sometimes.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this epic ending in Atlanta. Georgia Tech taking care of business up against Florida State late in that game.
Was the shots. You may not remember, we called Thursday after the show. And I told you, Georgia Tech was not the shots. Count out Georgia Tech on that, and you left. You left. I wish I could have done it on air, whether it was tape, to prove that you could pull it up. But there wasn't. That's fine.
Right, good. I'm glad.
I wasn't shocked. Now, why they're not giving the ball to Cook more beats me. I'm shocked. I don't know why. Then, if you, I don't know if you've seen it, posted it, Jimbo Fisher's comment after the game is more amazing. Because Jordan, he goes, well, it's not about winning. It's about the competition. He went all Al Golden. What do you mean it's not about winning? Really? I don't know. I never was a big Golston fan. I never thought he was that good. But, okay. They beat us. So, there's not much I can say. I'm happy. I look for somehow, some way, Georgia Tech to win the Coastal now. I think they got the win that they needed. I'm not shocked at all.
Okay, we do have Rodri in the building. Rodri, the Welsh Dragon, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling? Live from Wales. Rodri, are you there? He's maybe having technical difficulty again. Rodri, yo, let me know what's going on. I'm trying to get you in here as soon as possible. Rodri, do you hear me one last time? Okay, so he's trying to get back in here. We're going to get this figured out for the city. I'm trying, man. I'm trying to get y'all that international flow in the kitchen. One more college game before I get into the games, man, because we're running down on time. I'm stunned. I am stunned. I'm not going to lie, Sports City. But here we have it. The Utah Utes get smoked. I'm talking about smoked by USC. Now, knowing that they're number three ranked team and knowing I don't have too much ground to be talking about people getting smoked because Miami got liberated, but that's a whole other situation. But Utah looked like they were on a number three ranked team. Travis Wilson, he looked like he was lost, and they couldn't get Booker to basically get to the outside and cause havoc like we've known to see him all throughout the season. Nacho, I'm going to come to you first. Knowing you're a Pac-12 guy, your thoughts on USC looking like themselves, and this is 2 or 3 weeks after Sarkisian just left. This offense is putting it together like he was there.
You know, I don't think Utah, I think Utah's got one win since their, you know, since their, you know, acceptance into the Pac-12 against the USC Trojans. So, you know, and again, Vegas knows more than we all know. Apparently, weren't they, I believe at game time, they were almost an 8-point favorite going into the game USC was. So, the thing is, this is the parity in the Pac-12. Again, we saw it not only in this game, but with UCLA beating Cal the way they beat down Cal. So this is the parity of the Pac-12. Like I said, the winner's probably the Pac-12 champion's going to have a 1 or 2 loss record. Most likely now, looking at the way it's shaping out, Stanford is. And if Northwestern can win out, you know, get a good goal, get a good bowl game and only be 9-11 or 9-2, that looks good for Stanford, that being their only loss to a Northwestern team. So it depends. I know, I think, what is it, Tuesday, the official, you know, top 25 comes out from the 13 committee that's voting for the playoffs. So we'll see where Stanford falls in their eyes. I think that's going to be the most telling situation, this first one that comes out. Because if Stanford's ranked pretty high, like 5, then if they win out, get that Pac-12 championship, and there's a couple other one-loss teams in that top 4, Stanford might sneak in there with the Pac-12 championship in that college playoff. But, you know, other than that, this Utah loss, as it pertains to USC, I mean, Utah is what they are. They were able to dominate up until USC, and for some reason USC has their number for like I said, since they came into this conference. So, just another show of the parity and how USC, no matter what, dominates any team for a number of years for whatever reason. And let's not forget the talent that's on USC, the scouted and recruited talent that is on that roster up and down for USC is no joke. They are talented. If they can get pointed in the right direction, like they did for the past 60 minutes against Utah, we could see what happens.
Okay. Tommy, your thoughts on that game yesterday? Utah basically not prepared to take on USC. Now, mind you, Utah hasn't beaten USC in quite some time as well. Your thoughts on how they basically were outmatched in the game yesterday in the middle of Southern California?
Not really a shock. USC's got all the talent in the world. They showed up and they wanted the ball out. I really like that receiver they've got out there, that Juju Smith. Dude can ball. They came out and they played like USC was like they actually thought coming into the preseason, going into the season, the way they thought they were supposed to play. USC showed up and said, you know, we're still here in the Pac-12. You got to recognize, they've got talent out there. They've got all the talent in the world. And they put it all together in everything. Utah should have lost to Michigan. Michigan wouldn't have turned it over in the beginning of the year, first game of the season. They wouldn't have even been where they were at. Michigan had too many turnovers. I'm not sure. I don't really follow the Pac-12. Maybe Nacho can answer this. Does USC still have a chance in the Pac-12, winning the Pac-12, or are they too far out of it?
I believe they're too far out of it now. The Pac-12 South is a jumble of losses. So I think because of their conference play, they might be a little bit better off. Let me double-check it after this weekend. I don't know exactly how it looks and plans out. I know beating Utah is good, but Utah was undefeated, so that only gives them one loss. I don't think that catapults them deep into the seedings because everyone else had at least two losses going into the weekend. Utah is still up with a 6-1 overall, 3-1 in the conference. USC's 2-2 with 4-3 in the conference, with UCLA above them at 5-2 with 2-2 in the conference. So they're tied in the conference with UCLA and Arizona State. They actually tied with Arizona State overall as well. So, I mean, winning out, you'd have to have UCLA and Utah slip up, and then you'd have to go beat a Stanford probably at in the Pac-12 championship. So that's a tough test, though. Maybe if they play like they played on Saturday, it would be hard pressed for you to tell anyone, that they couldn't do it. But like I said, it would take Utah and UCLA to have collapses. But it's not impossible, I guess.
Okay, we do got Roger back. Roger, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning? Roger, are you there? I'm trying, Sports City. I'm trying. Roger, we got to get this figured out somehow, some way. There's a hiccup there. Yep. Yeah, he's dropped again. Okay, so I'm going to get into these games, man, because I know we're running down on time. And I'm going to do one by one, throw this around the kitchen the best that I can. I'm going to start with you first, Tommy. Your thoughts on Tampa Bay up against the Redskins. This is in Maryland. They're playing in Maryland at the FedEx Field. Who do you like in this matchup, Jameis or Cousins? Both of these quarterbacks are struggling, both of which only have two wins on the season. Who do you like and why?
Oh, boy. I'll go with Washington. But it's hard. I think their defense will confuse and get to Winston just enough. I think Winston will have one dumb interception that'll put Washington over the top. I think it'll be a very slow, low-scoring game, but I think Washington will win it. I think they'll get pressure, and Winston will he'll turn it over somehow. He'll do something dumb with it.
Okay, Nacho, Falcons on the road up against the Titans. The Titans are playing without Marcus Mariota, they are going with Zach Mettenberger. Your thoughts on this matchup? Can the Titans have an upset of all upsets this season?
No, not close at all. Atlanta's on a little run going on. I know they're not the same team they are that they are at home, but on the road that they are at home. But Atlanta's just a better team right now, and without Marcus Mariota on the field, Tennessee's going to be a little lost. I think with Mettenberger, who hasn't started a game yet this year. I do love what Dick LeBeau is doing with that defense over there in Tennessee. But I think Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman running behind that stout fullback they got there in Atlanta, I think they take over the game offensively and win this game decisively.
Tommy, Minnesota and Detroit, who do you like in this matchup and why?
I'm going with Minnesota for one reason. Adrian Peterson, he's up. He's just had on the NFL. He's playing. I think Minnesota's defense, I hate to do this to you, Ty. I hate to do it because I know you're a Detroit fan. But I'm going with Minnesota. Yeah. AP will have a big game. And Matthew Stafford will be Matthew Stafford. He'll force a ball somewhere and get picked. I'll say Stafford will have at least two or three picks.
Yeah, three. Whoa, he is digging in the crate. Matthew, you better do some work. If not, I'm coming to Michigan myself. I'm not playing around, Matt. Nacho, your thoughts on the Saints versus the Colts? This is taking place in Indy. I don't even know which quarterback wants it, Breeze or Luck. I mean, both of them out of the gate are not playing the football that we know that they are capable of. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I'm thinking Indianapolis. Indy's at home. The Saints aren't the same team on the road. And they are really a bad team. Let's not forget about that. Let's not forget who they beat. Take that into account. The fact of the matter is, I think Andrew Luck needs this more for his well-being than Drew Brees does. Drew Brees is going to make his money regardless of where he goes, if he goes or stays next year. And I think he's looking more forward towards the future. So, who wants it more? I think it's Andrew Luck. And who needs it more is also Andrew Luck. So I'm going to go Indianapolis Colts at home. They need this victory. I know it's only against the NFC, so it doesn't, come into effect too early in tie-breaking situations. But they need a victory nonetheless for their overall record.
Steelers Chiefs, I'm going to go with this one. I'm going with Landry Jones again to build up a winning streak up against this Chiefs team. I think this Chiefs team without Jamal Charles is struggling. I'm harsh. I'm sorry, Sports City. I got to be harsh. And like I said, I had to sit up here and apologize to Georgia Tech. I don't believe in Alex Smith. I don't care how much money you guys throw him. I don't care how much y'all claim that he's a starting NFL quarterback. I think if it wasn't serious or it might have been Nacho who called him Captain Checkdown, that's what he is. That's his new nickname in the kitchen, Captain Checkdown. Look, he is scared to make those plays outside, and this is the one question I have about Alex Smith right now. I wonder how long your receivers sit there and watch you do that. Don't let them make opportunities to make plays. Like that's what bothers me about Alex Smith. He's been like that since he came in the NFL. When he came out of Utah, he was a scrambler. I think he's still hung up on he wants to take off instead of making a throw or making the safe throw in the flats. And I don't think that beats Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers take care of business in Arrowhead, where it's notably tough to play. The Chiefs have not won at home all season. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on that one.
Macklin's out, too.
That makes it worse.
Macklin's out with the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith, if you get this done, something has to happen all across the board with Pittsburgh. Hey, I don't know. Like I said, if Alex Smith comes up with a day where he throws over 275 yards and
to get two touchdowns thrown and wins this game, I'll apologize.
We might not have to, though. That defensive line for Kansas City getting to Landry Jones. That offensive line for Pittsburgh isn't that good. So, I mean, he may get opportunities. I'm not saying he can capitalize on them, but he may get opportunities where he's in, you know, starting position at the 40 or plus. And, hey, when you get that, you got to make those opportunities count. I mean, hey, you're right, but he might get a couple opportunities where he ends up getting the sack fumble in the end zone, in the red zone, where he's got starting position at the 19. You got to turn that into a touchdown, and I think they can. So, hey, they might not have to try too hard.
So who do you like? You like the Steelers or the Chiefs?
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Sports City, sit at the edge of your seat. We will hear this Monday. I have to be here, Sports City. Just know that. I have to be here. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, Browns, Rams, Tommy, I'm going to come to you. Your thoughts on this one. Cleveland on the road up against St. Louis, both of which out of the gate are playing the football that we thought at least the Rams probably would be able to play better football right now. The Browns up and down this season. Who do you like in this matchup, Cleveland or St. Louis?
St. Louis. They're playing at home, and you heard it here. The running back, Gurley, will go off.
How many yards? 120? 100 to 120 or 150?
130.
130. That's fair. That's a fair number. I like it.
And two touchdowns.
Well,
this is his game.
Cleveland's rushing defense is the worst in the league.
And they're going to have to pass it if Deion
Lewis
is out, too.
And they're playing in St. Louis. St. Louis all day.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got two for the Rams and Gurley, 130 and two touchdowns. I'm writing this down. I got to see this. Okay. Nacho, next up on this one, is Campbell on to a winning streak with this Dolphins team hosting the Houston Texans? And I'm calling this the battle of the best defensive tackle who hasn't shown up all season this year, and that's both of them, J.J. Watt and Ndamukong Suh. Who wins this game? Either J.J. Watt and his defensive front or Ndamukong Suh and his defensive front. I mean, both of these teams have questionable quarterbacks, both of them have questionable starts, and both of them are looking for their third win on the season. Who do you like and why?
You know, from their play this year, you would think that this should be a shootout. Both offenses should dominate the defenses that have been showing up all year. But both offenses are, you know, devoid of intelligent football over the last 6 weeks as well. So this is really a coin toss of who you feel would, you know, this almost reminds me of what we saw on Monday night, where neither team wanted the ball. It just so happened one stumbled in the end zone a couple times and got a lead. That's what we might see here. There might be a fumble or something like that that ends up in the end zone and the opposing team just happens to fall on it. We might see a 10-3 victory here. But I'm going to go with Miami at home in that case. I think, you know, they might get one turnover late in the game to seal this game up. That might possibly be tied 3-3 for the majority of 3.5 quarters. I don't think we're going to see anything out of either offense or defense. They just don't look good at either team to me, to be honest.
Okay, this one is a toughie right now, and I'm going to try and do it myself, Sports City. This one is a toughie. The New York Jets up against the New England Patriots. You got 4-1 New York Jets with Darrell Revis and knows what's going on in that defense up against that New England Patriots squad, who is still 5-0 and is being played in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Oh, this is so tough for me right now. I am going to go with, there's a story of a guy named Brady. I can't.
I want to. So I was brought up on that show. I'm sorry that we had to watch a Brady Bunch. I'm sorry. But I think it's going to be close. I think the Jets are going to give them a fight. I think this could come to the last possession. I don't want to feel like a bad guy really calling out Fitzpatrick. If Fitzpatrick can figure out the Patriots defense, I tip my cap. But if Belichick is at home doing his homework, well, they're at Gillette now. Get ready for the game. But if Belichick was at home doing his homework all week long, the Jets could be in trouble. They could be in deep trouble getting after Brandon Marshall and stopping Ivory. I mean, those are the places that he'll probably like to try and go with the ball. Ivory has been extremely successful running the ball also. I don't know who is going to be the guy for New England, because there's always somebody different, whether it's Gronk or Edelman. Amendola's been waking up a little bit too. Now they get Brandon LaFell back in the mix too. Brady's getting even more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I feel it's going to be close, but I still feel the Patriots can win at home, especially with Brady's been mad at the entire NFL. So he ain't giving nobody no clean shot. So I'm going to go with New England. Next game I have is the Raiders up against the Chargers. Nacho, I go to you. Your team is on the road up against San Diego. Who do you like in this AFC West matchup, both of which are under 500 with two wins apiece?
You know, watching this guy, Phillip Rivers, throw for 506, you know, needing 509 and not being able to get it, I think that'll stick in his claw. The fact he was able to go in against an undefeated team in their home and put up a big fight. And for all intents and purposes, if he had a defense, would have came away with a victory. Knowing that he is doing it by himself, knowing that he can do it, you know, he's not going to have to face an offense that'll take the ball down the field every chance they get it. As much as I like Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, and those boys, I think the San Diego Chargers at home, coming off a tough loss, I think they turn it around. Phillip Rivers goes hand bone again. Him and Keenan Allen just go off. This Raiders defense, they can't stop anyone in the secondary. I was contemplating this, and I guess I'll go ahead and do it, seeing what they did to me last week. Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers hook up for 21 receptions and over 200 yards today. I think those guys go ham. This Oakland Raiders defense in that front seven is really good. But I watched Phillip Rivers get blitzed on, I think he dropped back 60-something times. He might have gotten blitzed on about 50 of those times, and he completed 43 passes. He completed anything and everything he could against the blitz. I watched my team continually die by the blitz against Phillip Rivers, and I think Oakland does the same thing. I think they think they can get to him because of his offensive line. But, man, what I watched last week, the way he played against the blitz and a secondary that is, ultimately better than the Oakland Raiders secondary, he torched us. So I think Keenan Allen and him, they torched the Oakland Raiders today. They get a good victory. And like I said, I think it's 21 receptions, 200 yards for Keenan Allen today. He's going to go off.
Okay, Roger, I'm going to try again. Roger, do we have you back in the brunch?
TP, I'm open, so. I'm open. I got a sus this time.
There we go.
Hey,
we're live from Wales, people. There we go. Okay, now that we got you here in the kitchen, we give you the more interesting game of the evening, or afternoon, if you will. The Cowboys on the road up against the New York Giants, of which Des Bryant is out. And Matt Castle is the starter. Do the Cowboys carry this winning streak up against the Giants to 6? They are on a 5-game winning streak up against the New York Giants, or does Eli cut the rope and say that's enough?
I just want to say, right, Jacks are playing in London, and I haven't picked them this week, which I'm very disappointed about, because, you know me and Jacksonville picking on this show. Anyway, yeah, Giants get it done, guys. I'm sure Eli can get it done at home. Odell Beckham's playing outstanding football at the moment. I was shocked. I was watching some high school tape on him the other day, and just what he does, his cuts coming out of his cuts is just amazing. He's more than just a pair of hands, Seeing him at LSU also, I think he's going to be outstanding today. Without Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, this Cowboys team just seemed to be a different team to me. I think Joseph Randall's going to start today. Good to see Rolando McClain back, and you know, they're getting pressure off the edge right now. We're seeing that, but I like what New York has done with that offensive line. You know, Eric Williams, a rookie, playing some good football, and you know, Peewat Guard, I like. And they are starting to get it together on the offensive line. So you know, Tom Coughlin's getting it done. I think New York get it done at home. I can't sort of go with the Cowboys with Brandon Whedon back there. Matt Castle today starting. I can't see it. You know, coming any. He hasn't welcomed coffee yet. You know, he's still raw. So I'm taking the Giants at home. I think it's going to be a close game, but the Giants pick it at home.
Hey Ty, real quick.
Yes,
we're a sports show, right? We love this. Buffalo Bills just scored a touchdown. They're about to kick the extra point. Be within 4 points with 6 minutes left.
Good game, guys. Good game going on here.
Like I said, I could figure out a way, Jacksonville, to let this game slip. I could just feel it. And the crazy part is, in the portion of the third quarter, while we were talking, Jacksonville got to the 1 yard line and got stuffed on three straight plays with Toby Gerhardt's big tail too. Toby Gerhardt got stuffed into one. So look. This is interesting. Like I said, I think Buffalo can end up stealing this because they're not scoring the ball. Look at Jacksonville all half long, not able to score all half long. They scored all 27 of those points in the second quarter. I'm shaking my head. If they lose this game, I'm shaking my head. Somebody needs to do some explaining. That's all I'm going to say. I'm tired of saying somebody needs to lose their job because I don't want to see people lose their job. Like, stop, Ty. But somebody got to do some explaining. Do I need to hear something? If TJ Yeldon's breaking off 7 yards a clip running the ball, hey, I'm stopping. Okay.
My goodness.
Right. I'm not. Okay, so, Roger, we got you here, and you're late. You're late on the situation. I'm going to give you back-to-back games. I'm a cartoon guy. I grew up on cartoons, so I'm going to do this. Sunday night. So tonight's matchup, Tweety Bird versus Sylvester, the Cats versus the Birds. You got the Panthers hosting the Eagles. Who do you like and why? Because I looked at the emblem as a black cat, so I thought of Sylvester. And you know the Eagles is a bird, Tweety Bird. So who do you like Sylvester or Tweety?
I like what you did there with this Resident Tweety, bringing some animation into it. Both of these teams are looking good. Luke Kuechly's, you know, watching him against the Seahawks last week, you know, and Cam Newton found a way to get that done last week. I was so impressed with them. To me, you know, they need a receiver. Greg Olsen is going to be, if they don't do a job on Greg Olsen today, then something's really wrong with Philadelphia because he's really the only weapon in a passing attack, I feel, at the moment. Devin Funchess is not getting it done. You know, they need Kelvin Benjamin, and they haven't got him, basically. And, you know, they haven't got a Steve Smith there either, and Ted Ginn is not going to get it done, I don't think. So, yeah, Philadelphia, too good in the secondary for me. And I think, you know, DeMarco Murray's starting to get rolling. I think they are starting to get it to click on offense. And going into Carolina is not an easy task. You know, it's not an easy game. I watched this game Monday Night Football in Philadelphia a few years ago, and to see Cam Newton in person, oh my God, he's huge. He is one massive individual, and you know his stats don't do him justice because he was the same size as the offensive lineman walking out. So yeah, Cam Newton's a beast, but for me, Philly get it done on the road in Carolina. And on Monday Night Football, do you want somebody else want to jump in? Guys, don't give it to me just because I'm late. You know, I feel bad because I'm late now, but technical difficulties. But I'm going to take Arizona at home on Monday night. I'm going to take Arizona at home. For many reasons. Bruce Arians is getting it done. I think he's an outstanding coach. We talked about Steve Smith. He's going to come in there. And Patrick Peterson's going to have his way with him. I think Patrick Peterson and that secondary is one heck of a secondary.
Wait, whoa. Patrick Peterson's going to have his way with Steve Smith. Wait a minute now. This dude is burning a lot of dudes. I'm not going to say that the Raiders are going to win this game. I'll do that. I'll agree with you. I think the Cards win this game at home. But let's not just dump off the deep end and say Patrick Peterson's going to have his way with Steve Smith now. Let's not do that now.
the Calvin Johnson, Tyreek, like he's, you know, it's Calvin Johnson did what he did against him, but, you know, Patrick Peterson's playing, you know, emotional football now. He's got to do what he's got to do, because this Cardinals team's legit, I think. I think this Cardinals team's legitimately got a chance. And, you know, he's going to be on the defensive side of the ball. He's got to be that corner. He's got to be that shutdown guy. And I think his game is going to start picking up. And on Monday Night Football, I'm thinking prime time players come through. And I think he's just going to do it. And you know, he's a good player. He's a good guy. And I just feel that's what's going to happen, you know, just because it's Monday Night Football more than anything.
Steve Smith liked the lights, too.
Chancellor syndrome all over again. The fact that Patrick Peterson has his LSU buddy and safety behind him on the look at all the big plays Patrick Peterson has had all this year. Tyrann Mathieu is right behind him. All the big plays, Tyrann Mathieu is right behind him. Those two, for whatever reason, when he plays safety and Patrick's on corner, no one stands a chance on whatever side of the ball they're on, and they're able to do it. So I do give you that. Patrick Peterson will probably end up stopping Steve Smith per the media, but when you look back at the film, it'll be because of that safety help of Tyrann Mathieu. I know he comes a lot in at the corner, at the slot corner, at the nickel as well, Tyrann does, but most of those big plays, Tyron's there at safety, over top, helping out Patrick Peterson, giving him the ability to do whatever he wants, which is equated into pick sixes and interceptions and things of that nature.
It's a good point. I mean, they know each other's games, and I think he was the big reason why Tyrann Mathieu went there. I think Patrick Peterson vouched for him. No, he'd put him under his wing, and he was a big reason. Yeah, Rashad Johnson's an underrated safety. I think also he's another guy, and that secondary is outstanding. I think that's probably
Buchanan too.
Buchanan also, exactly. You know, New York Jets have got a good secondary, but for me, that's probably the best one in Arizona. I think under the lights of Monday night, they're going to show it tomorrow night. We're going to see we're going to see the best of this Cardinals team because they are good. And Chris Johnson's playing good football, running back. He's playing like he's back in Tennessee, and yeah, and David Johnson also is a good running back. So you know, they got it all there, and you know, Micah Patty, and their offensive line's good, and Carson's playing well. Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown. This day for Arizona this year, guys. You know, Bruce Arians, as well as a coach, got to take my cap to him. You know, he's done an outstanding job 2 years now, and he's looking good this year as well. Yeah.
Not for nothing. Bruce Arians has had this team, you know, ready to go for each game. And the fact that they spent 2 weeks out there on the East Coast, out there in Virginia, I think, or West Virginia, preparing for two games out there, and they thought that they had it in the bag because they were going to go out there and prepare for two games. I ended up going 1-1 on the road trip, but the fact is they feel like they've been preparing for every game the correct way and going in it. Look at the Steelers game. The Steelers had, what, I think 1 yard or negative 1 yard at halftime, and by the end of the game, the Cardinals had outgained them still. Cardinals had, you know, 400 and some yards of offense. The Cardinals feel like they shot themselves in the foot at the Steelers. Divisional game against the Rams there, you know, that is what it is. It's a divisional game against the Rams. Rams are 2-3, 2-0 in their division. The Rams have prepared all offseason and the preseason for six games. Sorry, go ahead. I know we're getting overtime, but the Cardinals have been prepared and they're ready, and you're right. That secondary and that defense, they're ready to show it on Monday night.
All I got to say is Monday night, I really hope my Ravens defense just shows up. Show up.
True.
Do not let Larry Fitzgerald just run free. Jam him at the line. Show me that you want to play football. But like my Ravens defense, we'll let Larry Fitzgerald run down the field. I'll say he'll go for 220, three touchdowns. It doesn't surprise me.
Stop.
Okay. Now, okay, 4:30. We're coming to a close right now, but I'm going to do this right now. You're going to hear more about this tomorrow on the wrap-up. Y'all going to hear more about this on the wrap-up. I'm doing it right now, Sunday. I'm going with the Blackbirds. That's right. Everybody against the Blackbirds, y'all can run with the Redbirds all you want. I'm going with the Blackbirds. They picking up my boy Steve Smith. Yeah, I stand out here like you did Jacksonville beating New England and then Tom Brady hurts you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do that. It don't matter. I got to be here. I got to be here. So if they yell me, they can come get me. I'm right here.
I got to give you credit. I got to give you credit.
I'm in.
31-27 Bills. 5:21 left in the fourth.
Jesus, I was not taking Jacksonville again.
I'm telling you, look, I've been around Chandler for far too long. I should be Nostradamus Jr., man. I'm telling you. I just know the mystique. I knew it would turn around. Like, how do you score that many times in the second quarter and y'all can't score again? Again.
The rest of the game.
Wow.
Stunning. I'm not taking Jacksonville again. At all. I will not take Jacksonville again.
Real quick, before we get to the closeout.
The Bills arrived, Tuesday, Wednesday in London?
Yes.
Jacksonville arrived Friday, afternoon?
Correct.
Friday afternoon. Jacksonville has been there for less than 48 hours, traveling from Jacksonville to London. And there was a sleep specialist or sleep guy who said, if you're a betting man, put every single dollar you have on Jacksonville or on Buffalo because Jacksonville's gonna wet the bed.
It did.
Look,
I mean, I honestly thought. Sorry, go.
No, go ahead, Roger. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
I mean, the game was close, and then what happened was on our coverage over here, Greg Jones, the former Jacksonville fullback, he went into the commentary booth with the guys over here, and they scored those defensive touchdowns, two back-to-back defensive touchdowns, and the interception, and TJ Yeldon went in and scored, so Jacksonville went up 20, I think it was sort of 27 to 7 or something like that. Then I come on this show, and then Buffalo starts scoring back because I got that Jacksonville curse going on. There's no question about that. Exactly what happened.
It's the mystique of Rodney Jones, people. It is Rodney Jones in the kitchen. Jacksonville, I'm sorry. Rodney's doing this to y'all.
And they're talking about bringing his team over here for long term. Just bet against them.
They like, hell no, Roger over there. We're not going. Send somebody else over there. We're not going over there. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, man. What type of game is this? Oh my goodness.
But good for the fan support, you know. Good for the fan support over here. I gotta say that. That's one.
Yeah, right. I bet you don't. Nobody out there want to be a Jaguar fan after today.
No.
My goodness.
They blew that. Like Bortles. Like I'm a fan. I like your style of play. I feel like you can do something. You better win this game. That's all I'm gonna say. You better lead these boys down that field and score a touchdown. If not, I'm done. I can no longer support you anymore. Like I know, I picked your one win. The one win that you got, I called it here in Sports City. I called it. Everybody else is trying to call Jacksonville, ain't been coming up with it. And you blew this lead like I said it. And you blew it like I said it would happen. I knew it would happen. You better lead them boys downfield. If not, I can't wait to hear your press conference. That's all I'm going to say. I can't wait to hear it. Epic show, epic stuff. I got my brothers right back in here cooking up something marvelous. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Mr. Jones, I'll come to you first. The Pride of Wales right here in the kitchen. Give me a plug, closeout, shout-out as we shut down the brunch.
SportsCityChefs.com. Just apologize, guys, for the technical difficulties. I'm having some net problems, but it's all sorted. I'll see you on the wrap tomorrow night. We'll get into it in a bit more depth. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Okay, yeah, and I'm glad you come to the wrap up, because if somebody here today in the kitchen gets something wrong today and they don't come to the wrap up, all I'm gonna say is I have to be here. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. That's my new slogan. You know what I'm saying? I used to do cricket soup, you know, food for thought. You know, I got a lot of slogans here in the kitchen, but I have to be here is the new slogan. Okay, I'm going into 2016 with that one. I am. Mr. Beard, I need a closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to plug or promote as we shut down the brunch.
I'm just got to say I just hope for some good games today and no bad defenses. Please, just show up and play some defense for me. I'm tired of seeing these 400, 500-yard ball games. these receivers running downfield. Just play some defense. You're an NFL player. Just play some defense. Give me some defense, please.
With you saying that, I'm going to say this to you. The Detroit Lions have cleared to play Haloti Ngata. So with that, Haloti Ngata, come and play defense because one of your guys, well, your former guy, because y'all ain't cool no more, but one of your former guys wants y'all to play D. Please play D because we have Adrian Peterson today. That's all I ask. Please. That's all I'm asking. So now, Leaf Nacho, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Sorry, I had that on mute there. You know, at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's the bye week for the Packers, so we don't have very much to talk about in the way of, you know, celebration of another victory come Monday night. So just hopefully my picks are right so I don't have to come eat crow Monday night. On that note, I need Carolina to win Philly. I need Carolina to win Indianapolis so we can take 2-0s in a row. That would be Denver 0 and Carolina 0. Nothing would appease me more than to, you know, do that. So let's keep this rolling. You know, I've been doing the back-to-back MVPs, but Aaron Rodgers' play hasn't been that great. But I'm never going to, you know, back out of the statement that I think he should be MVP. But because I'm not, you know, devoid of eyesight, I can still see gameplay on the field. I'm going to have to start a new slogan until I see otherwise. And the new hashtag for this upcoming weeks until I see otherwise is hashtag co-MVP, Cam and Aaron. You know, it's all one hashtag. Put that, you have to put Cam and Aaron in there. Anyway, back and forth. And Cam with a C, because not Cam with the K. Cam with a C. So co-MVPs, I think Cam Newton, for all the jokes aside, for what he's doing out there and what we say by himself offensively, you know, the defense can only do so much and stop so many times. You know, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 17-point deficit he was going into there in Seattle, regardless of, you know, how they look this year. That's a three-time, you know, NFC championship game, two-time Super Bowl or something of that nature, two-time Super Bowl participant. And they went into their house in a place that, you know, everyone said they couldn't lose and beat them. So, Cam Newton is definitely got to be up in the running now. And for me, it's co-MVPs right now. Aaron hasn't lost, so I can't take him out of the running, but his play needs to step it up, and he needs to do better. But Cam Newton, for all intents and purposes, and having eyesight and seeing what I see, he's out there balling and taking his team to heights that no one anticipated. And like we said last week, you know, Atlanta's on that road now of losing, but Carolina's got to lose a couple. But I believe now they're 6-0. If they play 500 football the rest of the way, they're 11-5. 11-5 gets you in the playoffs, and with Cam in the playoffs, Lord knows what could happen. So on that note, let's get this thing rolling through the bye week. Get prepared for going into Denver and that number one defense. Aaron's got to play better. Other than that, man, it was a great show. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks, Roderick. Thanks, Ty. Hopefully we can get Chandler in here tomorrow. You know, he can be mad at the fact Steve Weatherford got all the press before the game and he cost him with a block punt to lose the game for him. Other than that, man, you have a good night.
Okay. Look. Nacho must play cornerback, people. He must play cornerback. You know why? Because he's backpedaling better than Deion Sanders. I'm telling you, backpedaling better than Deion Sanders. I got him do a co-MVP. And that boy playing ball in Carolina. Listen, man. Look, this is what I like about Sports City, because you got all of this stuff recorded, man. I can't do no better. I don't make this stuff up, people. I don't make this stuff up. But tomorrow, Ravens, I got your back. I'm not even sliding away from it. I got Tommy going with the Cardinals. I got everybody else going with the Cardinals in the kitchen. You know what? I'm with the Blackbirds, man. Kane Century. You know what I mean? That's what they do. They ain't the Canes down there no more, but y'all know what I mean. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back. Well, I'm going to say it like this. I'll be back here
tomorrow evening, 7 p.m., Monday Night Sport, wrapping this thing up. Everybody else got to see the decision if they want to. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses is taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.